Discover insights to boost your business or improve your quality of life right here on the Soar to Success podcast with your host, Pat Altvader.
Kara Mack is a shoe designer and the creator of Kara Mack Shoes. She studied fashion design and spent her professional life as an apparel designer. After 25 years, she realized it was time to apply her skills and experience to designing a revolutionary shoe system that customizes many styles of shoes and creates a lighter footprint and a positive environmental impact by decreasing the amount of shoes that end up in landfills. Kara's innovation has disrupted the shoe industry. I'm so excited that she's here with us today to share her story and offer us some tips. Welcome to the podcast, Kara.
Thank you, Pat. Thank you for having me.
I'm so excited to have you. And just to let everyone know, I know you from the National Association of Women Business Owners and have some of your boots. And so I'm very excited to share your story with everyone. So why don't we just launch in and have you talk about what it is that you do and kind of why you do it.
Okay. So my name is Kara Mack, and I'm from Kara Mack Shoes, which is the world's first instantly customizable shoe for ladies from heel to toe. And what that means is the shoes, the boots, the sandals are manufactured in a shoe factory like any other shoe, and the heels are permanently attached to the shoes, which you can swap out the heel covers. So one day you could have a red one, and that night you could have a crystal one, or if you're traveling, you can wear them on the plane or pack one pair and a bag of candy, which is what we call them, shoe candy. And then you can match every outfit in your travel bag. So the same with sandals. You can also swap out the sandal straps as well as the heels. So you can go on a cruise and have day looks and fancy crystals for night. And then there is a collection of footwear shoes as well.
And the boots are so comfortable.
Thank you.
Wear them all day long, and they never.
You hear that a lot, which makes me super happy, because one of my goals when designing this, well, it was more of an invention, but designing the shoes themselves, was that they had to be comfortable for me, because I had pain points. And if my feet hurt during the course of a day, my whole day was off-kill.
Yeah.
And so I definitely designed these for me, knowing that comfort was key.
So how did you get started?
Wow. So I was an apparel designer in New York City for over 25 years. I'm a Fashion Institute of Technology graduate.
Okay.
And I was working for a menswear company as a design director. And I designed everything from all the sweaters, the knits, the pants, the swimwear, the outerwear. And I live in Westchester County, which is about 40 miles north of the city, but a full hour train commuting to get into Grand Central. And then I had a 20-minute walk to get to my office. So I always had really comfortable flats. And this was back in like 2011, 2012. You never wore sneakers. No way. God forbid you ran into somebody in the fashion industry and you were wearing sneakers.
No.
So I got to my desk and I had about a dozen pairs of shoes under my desk. And I would say, okay, what goes with my outfit today? If I had an event at night, which was quite often, I had another pair of shoes in my shoulder bag, along with the computer and the maybe some food and paperwork. And I just thought to myself, why? Why do I need so many shoes to get through my days? And then the same thing happened when I was traveling, Pat, because I would often go on these like 2-3 day business trips. And I always had to check my luggage because I had a pair of shoes to match every outfit. Yeah. It just didn't seem right. So I figured some shoe designer out there has got to have a solution. And I scoured the market and the internet, and I found nothing. And then one day I went to Neiman Marcus. I saw a pair of Tory Burch sandals, and they were in 3 different colors. There was a pink and a green and a blue. Mm-hmm. And I loved them, but they were 3 different colors and I couldn't make up my mind. I ended up walking out without purchasing any of them. And it was at that moment I thought to myself, why couldn't we have one sandal, but I could own the pink and the green and the blue version. And so then I started to think about sandal straps and being able to swap them out. So these were the three different things that led me in this crazy direction. If it wasn't out there, then I was going to invent it.
Yeah.
And so I did. I kept my job, and at night and on weekends, I had my kitchen counter set up where my kids would run in. They were much younger then. Mom's in the lab because I was mixing chemicals and learning how to cast and mold because I needed to figure out, how am I going to make this heel interchangeable?
Yeah. Yeah.
And when that finally happened, I hired an engineer. We put it into 3D prototyping. I had two pairs of shoes made in a factory in Queens. They cost $1,000 a pair because they were awesome. I said, don't put a heel on it. I told them the height, but don't put a heel on it.
Yeah.
And then when I got the samples, the shoe samples, and then I got the heel samples, I attached the two, and it gave me a prototype to kind of go out and talk to people about it.
Yeah. And what kind of people were you talking to then?
Mostly family and friends who were encouraging me. This is so great. Go out and, you know, quit your job and do this full time. But I just couldn't. Uh-huh. And then I was just super, super lucky that I got a meeting with Damon John. I don't know if you know him, if you watch Shark Tank. He's one of the sharks.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And I'll never forget, it was on May 30th, 2014, on the 33rd floor of the Empire State Building. And he said I had 30 minutes. I was there for an hour and a half. And at one point he threw his hands up after listening to my story and my pitch and what my goals were and said, this can be huge. And I quit my job the next day.
Wow. So how'd you get the meeting with him?
So I was in a group called the Damon John. Oh my gosh, I can't even remember. So long ago. It was something for entrepreneurs. It was like a school for entrepreneurs.
Okay.
Which was a 3-day long event in New York City in a hotel where it was from morning to night. It was just chock full of, it was like a little mini business school about launching and rebranding companies. And he was only there the last day, but he chose a certain number of people to have one-on-ones. And my meeting was actually scheduled for September of that year. Uh-huh. And the week before, May 30th, I got a call, said somebody canceled. Do you want to do it next Friday? And I said, I am so not ready. Yes. And I reached out to all my friends and family and said, don't call me, don't text me, don't email me. I am unavailable for the next 7 days because I had to put a presentation together.
Yeah.
And I got that meeting. Yeah. He was about a half hour late.
Do you still keep up with him?
Just on social media, because I did have a meeting with him a few years later. It was an event in Washington, D.C. for HSN, you know, the shopping channel. It's called HSN American Dreams Academy. And I knew he was going to be attending. And, you know, I was there with 200 other people. So I sent his assistant a message a couple of days before and said I was going to be there. Is it possible that I could have a one-on-one with him for 5 minutes? I just want to thank him.
Yeah.
And it was all arranged. We went into a closet. He had a photographer and we had some pictures taken. But basically, I just wanted to shake his hand and let him know that he validated my idea by providing the encouragement I did need to quit my job and do this full time.
Yeah, that is so fantastic.
And I've tagged him in social media before, and he always reaches out. I've never asked him for money. That was never part of my plan. That's the first thing people ask me. But it really was the validation that I needed.
Yeah. And so speaking of money, you just got some, right?
I did.
So tell us about that.
Okay. So, you know, Amazon and eBay and all these other marketplaces. Well, there are a number of them for fashion, and one is called Fashwire. And it was created by a woman, Kimberly Carney, who had a tech head and decided she wanted to put the customers together with all these unknown or up and coming fashion designers all over the world, apparel and footwear and jewelry and accessories. And they just started a home version. So Fashwire is the fashion version. I think they had just started Casawire last week.
Okay.
But anyway, somebody had reached out to me from Fashwire back in the spring and invited me to put my things on their platform. Then they were opening a shop in Seattle, Washington. And so I sent my boots and heel covers out there. But they announced that they were having a pitch contest and they were going to do it live and it was going to be in December, but you had to apply. So I applied and a couple of weeks later, I got the congratulations. I was one of 12. I think they had originally said 10 people, but they took 12 and I was a nervous Nilly the night of the pitch and I was so sick. I mean, I could hardly speak.
Oh, no.
But I had rehearsed and listened to and kept reading my pitch.
Yeah.
And had to be under 2 minutes. So that's a lot of work to get through. And Basically it was talking about my new launch, which is a 100% eco-friendly version of our two most popular boots, the Broadway boot 2.0 and the Betty boot 2.0. And all the contestants thought that we would hear that very night, like who the winner was. And they said, okay, we'll let you know next week.
Oh, no.
And a week went by and everybody's texting and emailing, like, when are you going to announce the winner? Oh, it's going to be Thursday. Oh, it's going to be Friday. It's going to be next Monday. So it got to the point where I was just like, I don't think we're ever going to hear. And then they said they were going to do a press release at 5 o'clock on 2 weeks after the event. And bam. I saw the press release and it said winner, Kara Mack Shoes. Nice winner. And it was a global pitch competition. So yeah. I was, you know, pitching companies that were in Europe and I think one was from the Ukraine and then a lot of Americans, but I was floored.
Yeah, that is.
I never win anything.
That is so excellent. So Tell us about the sustainable version.
So the sustainable version is probably the coolest thing I've ever done in my life, other than getting a patent granted. But it has been a goal since day one. So in order to build the company, it took years and years, obviously coming up with the invention of the heel cover and then the sandal strap and the toe clips that were removable and interchangeable. But it wasn't in an eco-friendly form, meaning the leather is chromium dyed, which contains metal and, you know, harsh chemicals. My outsole was not leather. It was man-made. The heels were made of an ABS construction. When you think of tires, you think of ABS.
Yeah.
And my goal was once I finally had the whole collection together, which was, you know, I have 4 different heel heights and 10 different very classic styles that really just don't go out of style.
Yeah,
I wanted to take my most popular styles and now make them in 100% eco-friendly materials. So the leather, even though it's leather, still cow leather, it is dyed using vegetables as opposed to these harsh chemicals.
Yeah.
The outsole is natural undyed leather. The heel, which was this injection molded black ABS material, they are now being hand carved.
Wow.
In Brazil through reforestation. So for every tree that they take down, they're replanting.
Yeah.
The insole, which is the cushion part.
Yeah.
You know, very important.
Yeah.
Has always been like a polyester, right? A memory foam. Mm-hmm. These are being made with parts of sugar cane, which would normally be discarded. I mean, what people are coming up with right now is wonderful. And then the lining is 100% recycled cotton. Wow. So everything about the boot is using natural materials. And they're very durable. They're going to last for a super long time. But once they do hit the landfill, they're going to biodegrade 90% faster than any traditional leather shoe.
Yeah, that is amazing. And this has been kind of on your heart, right? You sort of have this.
Well, from day one, it's just that it was such a build. It just took years to build all the other moving parts.
Yeah.
That I couldn't possibly have been successful doing all of it at the same time.
Yeah, right.
So yeah, super, super exciting.
Yes. So you have some tips for us about building a sustainable wardrobe, right?
I do, because that's how I live my life.
Yeah. Okay. Tell us.
I do. So I think that everybody, no matter how old you are, and if you care for the environment or don't care for the environment, they're the simplest things that you can do at home. And not just in your wardrobe, but also in your lifestyle, like recycling,
yeah.
Right?
Right.
Do you know that I was out in Pennsylvania this weekend and I was at Penn State visiting my son and I lifted the garbage and I saw cans and bottles and garbage all together. I said, Liam, don't you recycle? He says, no, they don't recycle here. And I said, well, you should do it anyway.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So obviously recycling is probably, you know, number one on my list. Uh-huh. And that is not just for trash, but it's also for your wardrobe. Okay.
Yeah.
You could ever take a half a day, which nobody really can, and really go through your wardrobe and try things on and see, do they still fit? Are they still in style? Or could I have it altered? Mm-hmm. Right? If you can't have it altered the way you want and it doesn't fit you, then give it away. Because there are plenty of other people out there who would be very happy wearing clothing. It's one of the biggest industries right now is repurposing and vintage clothing,
yeah,
and all that stuff. Yeah. And what's interesting, and I think it is passed in France and maybe in Canada, is you are not allowed to throw clothing away anymore.
You are,
it's against law. You must repurpose or recycle it. And I think that's wonderful. And I don't think the states are going to be too far behind that.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
So that's my number one, is the reusing and the recycling of what's already in your closet. Mm-hmm. Now, my second is not for everybody, but I'm a Rent the Runway member. Okay. Are you familiar with Rent the Runway?
No.
So Rent the Runway is a huge company. It was started by two women who were doing this as their MBA project at Harvard. They purchase designer clothes from all different designers, from very high end, like a Bagley Mischka, to, you know, a t-shirt from different companies, and they rent the clothes to you. So as a member, as a monthly member, I get 8 different articles per month. Almost everything you've ever seen me in at a NABO conference,
yeah,
has been rented.
That's ridiculous. How do you know it fits for sure?
Well, that's the trick, because you have to do your due diligence and read what others have written about the particular garment. Uh-huh. And they will rate it like, this is true to size. This runs large. This runs small. If you're 6 foot tall, this will look great on you. But if you're 5'2", don't even think about it. So I am 6 foot tall. So yeah. Every wedding, event, business, meeting, everything I have done for the past 5 years, I think, when it comes to getting the right outfit for that particular event, I rent it.
And how much advance notice do you need to do that?
If I put it in today by 3 o'clock, I'll receive it tomorrow.
Yeah. And then how long do you get to keep it?
Well, the package that I have, I can keep it as long as I want and then return it. But I'm paying per month. So I want to get use at, you get 4 things at a time. Mm-hmm. I want to send those back so I can get 4 more. Does that make sense?
Yeah. 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 Oh, I love that idea. I'm going to have to check that out immediately.
Yeah, there are other companies that do it, but not as good as Rent the Runway. In fact, they are the world's largest dry cleaner. It's all under one. I've been there. I did a tour and I spoke to them. So it was very, very interesting to see this operation. It was huge. Mm. Conveyor belts and clothing all over. And then they have repair people. They have full-time sewers.
Wow.
And if something can be mended, they'll mend it instead of getting rid of it so that they can resist. And that's going to bring me into my next. And this will be my final tip. Mm-hmm. Although I have, I think, a dozen of them. The next one is repair. Mm-hmm. Right. So we all have those little items that may have, you know, pulls in sweaters, maybe a little cut in a pair of jeans, something that's too short, something that needs to be updated a little bit. Again, instead of just getting rid of it, don't throw it away, repair it or have it repaired.
Yeah.
You know, there are companies out there. My friend has one of them called Alter New. Alter New. And the whole model is about repurposing what you have in your own closet through repair. Yeah. Or going to a vintage store and making a purchase and it doesn't quite fit you, have it altered. So she has teamed up with all these sewers all over the country, and they will come to your house, they will measure you, and then they have all your assets, and then you start giving them clothing and telling them what you want them to do with them.
Yeah.
And so you're paying to have something repaired that you can reuse.
Yeah. Wow. Those are fantastic ideas. Thank you. Love it. Yeah. So tell us a little about resilience and, you know, sticking to it and stuff. It seems like that's been an important theme for you over these years since 2000. Oh, yeah.
It has been. I mean, I have had a black cloud over me, Pat, like you have no idea, and I'm not going to get into it. How's that? But with that said, UPS, in accordance with NABO this past year at their annual conference in Louisville, Kentucky, had a contest, and they sent out a bunch of questions because they wanted to find the proudly unstoppable participants. Uh-huh. And so that was another calling of mine that I made. And I was chosen with two other female founded companies. And I was able to put my selling booth in the UPS booth.
Oh, how
in Louisville. I know that you couldn't make it. I know. With your grandkids.
Family, yeah.
But yes, so that was my proudly unstoppable hat from me telling them of all the woes, all the horrible things that have transpired.
Yeah.
And I just kept going, and I'm going to continue going. Yeah. So I don't know if that's really answering your question, but
what helps you do
all that? About resilience.
Yeah. What helps you? How do you maintain that sense of resilience?
You're not going to like this.
Just honestly,
I look at what's happening to other people in the world that is so disheartening. Mm-hmm. And sad, and the weather and what it's done to be, the fires, the floods, people drowning, people, you know, who have been killed. And my life is looking pretty darn good.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So I don't know if that's really
that's
the way to go about it, but it just makes me feel so blessed and happy that, you know, my life is pretty darn good. Yeah, I have ups and downs. There's a lot of turbulence, especially in business when you're, you know, a single founder.
Yeah.
But when I see the news, sometimes it just breaks my heart. And then I go, you're okay.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Gratitude.
Lots of gratitude.
One last thing I want to ask you about, and that is this iFund Women. Tell me what that is. That still going on now?
So I did have to put it on hold. One of the really bad things that happened to me, and it was actually Labor Day weekend when I was out of my house. I was on Cape Cod. My social media was hacked.
Uh-huh.
I knew something had happened because I got an email that they, you know, Facebook raised the threshold for my ads account like I asked for. And I was like, I didn't ask for this.
Yeah.
Okay. And that was on a Saturday. Banks are closed Saturday, Sunday, and now Monday, because Monday is
Labor Day.
Tuesday morning, I'm on the phone at 8:30 in the morning, and it was too late. Whoever had hacked into my account put child porn videos all over my site to the point where Facebook closed me. That person had also emptied my bank account.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
They got access to your bank account through Facebook?
That's right.
Wow. Oh my goodness.
So I was helpless. Anyway, the very short of the very long was my full-time job for the next 3 weeks was dealing with it, with Meta. And what I did to try and get through to them, 99.9% of there's no one to talk to. Now I'm on speedball with them. Yeah. But I had to stop my crowdfunding campaign because of that.
Okay.
A, I talked to my customers on social media and I did not have it for like 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just Facebook. It was also Instagram because Meta owns both.
Yeah, right.
And also I was really fearful about dealing with anybody's money. Right. Yeah. So the iFundWomen is what I mentioned to you, my 2.0 boots of the Betty and the Broadway.
Yeah.
That are 100% eco-friendly, made of 100% eco-friendly materials. I'm doing a crowdfunding campaign to raise money to pay for the production to have those made. And what that means is if you order it today, you will pay exactly half of what the retail is going to be once they come, which is probably going to be August now because you don't need boots until then.
Yes, right.
And you will be the first to receive them.
Okay.
So a crowdfunding campaign, I believe you did that for my boho boot, if I'm not mistaken.
I think I probably did. Yeah.
I think you did.
Yeah.
And so you probably paid about half of what the retail price would have been once it hit the United States.
Yeah.
So what you're doing is you're helping me pay for the production of something you totally believe in and love. And then I get to produce them. And then as soon as they come, you're the first one to get them.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's what I'm doing on iFundWomen. And what's great about it is not just black. So I have a python print. I have a denim leather. It looks just like denim, but it's leather. And then I'm also doing a chocolate brown, which is buttery and soft. And that's in both the block heel Broadway boot and the low heel Betty boot. So yes.
And so... can people go to iFundWomen now and find you, or is that on?
It's just that I have a call with them soon because I have to just switch my shipping dates because they still say, you know, you're going to get them in 2022, which is obviously not happening. So, but yes, they can be ordered at iFundWomen. You would just Google iFundWomen and then put in Kara Mack shoes and it'll bring you right to the pledge amount. And you know what? Maybe you believe in me, but you're a man and you don't wear my boots. We'll take donations.
Yeah.
Certainly true.
All right. Okay. And it's Kara, K-A-R-A, and then M-A-C for Mac.
That's correct.
Yeah. Okay. Mac. All right. Good. So one thing that I always ask everybody who's on this podcast with me are, what are three traits that you believe people need to have in order to soar to success?
Soar to success. First of all, I love that. So number one for me, and I did not always do it, but these are the things you learn, whether you're, you know, working for somebody else or you're working for yourself. Listen to your gut.
Yeah.
If it doesn't feel right, it probably isn't. Uh-huh. And if you have to really think too much about it, you may want to put it on the back burner for a little while. I listen to my gut now.
Yeah.
And that's like reading people as well as doing business.
Uh-huh.
People are really good for you and some aren't. So
yeah,
listen to your gut. I used to be a really, nobody believes me, but I used to be a very shy child.
Uh-huh.
And it's amazing how you can change as you grow. And I think this growth came for me by becoming a business owner more than as an employee.
Uh-huh.
But I like to say, if you're in a shell, come on out.
Yeah.
Meeting, network, uh-huh. Get in front of people, take business cards, uh-huh. Go on webinars. NABO has one every Wednesday night at 5 Eastern time that even non-members can go on to hear what other mostly women plus Tyrone are doing. And it's so good to network.
Yeah.
I'm also in a group called the Female Founders Collective. Oh. And, you know, now that the doors are open and we're having in-person events again.
Yeah.
Go. So that was my number two, is come out of your shell. And then my final would be to never stop listening and never stop learning.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody knows it all.
Yeah.
Just listen more than speak sometimes, because you never know that the knowledge somebody else has, what that can do for you.
Yeah. Wow. Those are fantastic. Thank you. So what's the best way for people to learn more about you and your products?
I would say, honestly, I do have a website, which is caramac.com.
Okay.
But I would say following me on social media, because I am pretty active. Facebook, I'm very active in, and I have a really great group of supporters there. Obviously, you're part of that, Pat, which is Kara, K-A-R-A, Mac, M-A-C is my personal, and Kara Mac Shoes is the business page. And then on Instagram, I have a Kara Mac Shoes, if you want to see product, because that's pretty much what we put up. And then my personal is caramac.ny for New York.
Yeah. Okay.
Somebody, I don't know. I couldn't get Caramac. Somebody else took it.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being on with me today. It was really interesting talking to you.
I love talking to you, Pat. Okay. Anytime.
All right. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Soar to Success podcast. For more insights into growing your business or improving your quality of life, visit soartosuccessmagazine.com and subscribe to the Soar to Success podcast on iTunes.